What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So this was the play story in the Star Tribune yesterday. Assassinations place Van Belter's religion in the spotlight. Three writers from the Star Tribune on this. This is the biggest story in the state. Nothing's close. The assassination of the Hortmans, what almost happened to the Hoffmans, and who knows how many others could have been killed. And we're still looking at state trial, a federal trial, all involving Vance Belter. So Jeff Mytrot, Sarah Nelson, and Reed Forgrave looked at this, and Reed has joined us multiple times before, and Reed is now with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I always appreciate it, sir. From what you knew from just the reporting by your paper and other media outlets about Belter and religion, what stood out to you most from the work you did along with Sarah and Jeff after a fair amount of work and a lengthy story, which is still available, StarTribune.com?
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Thanks for having me on. This was a massive project that we did at the Star Tribune. It involved getting, you know, a year worth of sermons from his church here in Minnesota, as well as sermons that he gave in the Congo, because he did a lot of missionary trips there, and analyzing them. It involved interviews with Belter in jail in Sherburne County, done over sort of the jail chat room, and then just talking with a lot of people, both at his church here and in the evangelical movement in Minnesota and nationally. And I think part of what stood out was just how, you know, until this happened on June 14th, how much he was considered sort of like a model parishioner, like a model Christian, a guy who, you know, the evangelical movement, which, by the way, is like 20% of the U.S. population,
yeah,
somewhere around 80 million people.
Yeah.
Certainly
enormous number.
Right. And he is obviously at the fringe of the fringe of that. But until June 14th, this guy was held up as a model parishioner for his mission trips to Africa, where he was both kind of like commingling a business venture as well as, you know, trying to convert soul to Jesus Christ. He was lifted up for his fidelity to his marriage. This guy wasn't, you didn't get the sense that this was some creepy guy who was hanging on the margins of this church. This was a guy who was seen as a great Christian. I don't think that indicts Christianity. I don't think that indicts
certainly
evangelicalism. Doesn't indict even his church. But it's really interesting. It's surprising in a way how normal he seemed in the context of this bigger movement.
Okay, so let's talk about charismatic Christianity, his church, and for the typical churchgoer every Sunday, a lot of things going on in his or her life. What is unique about this particular place of worship?
I grew up Christian, not evangelical, but I did grow up Christian. I've been to a lot of evangelical churches over the decades, and this struck me as kind of any normal evangelical church, a new one, one that was founded in 2022 that meets in a middle school cafeteria down in Jordan, just a few miles from Minnesota's largest candy store, as we noted in the first paragraph of our story. So it's young. It's a very young church. It's a very casual church. It's very heavy on, you know, contemporary Christian rock music. And one thing that did stand out, I'm not sure this is different than every evangelical church I've been to, but there was a heavy emphasis on the end times, on, mm-hmm, you know,
yep,
second coming of Jesus, and that they believe that this is coming soon and that they should prepare for this. And it wasn't in a crazy way. Like, it was in a, here are five Bible verses that refer to the end times coming soon. But that was definitely one of the things that stood out to me.
Reed, the way I read it, looking up myself a little bit, in an inevitable and hopeful way, how they looked at the end of what we know is now of normalcy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. It's not saying, oh my gosh, the end is coming, be afraid. It's saying, get your soul in order, get your spiritual affairs in order, because, you know, God has said to us, this is coming and this is coming soon. And we talked with plenty of other people who are either connected with the church or connected with the evangelical movement more broadly, and talking about how there is kind of like this around that context. There is sort of a stew of more violent rhetoric. There's a stew of sort of an us versus them mentality that can come out of some of these churches. And when we went through a year of sermons at this church, we certainly did see some of that. Absolutely.
I want to stay with that. Remind folks, Reed Forgrave is with us. He, along with Sarah Nelson and Jeff Mitrott, in a very interesting story in the Star Tribune, Assassinations, Place, Vance Belter's Religion, the Spotlight. Because I want to talk about that, because there are times this happens in politics, it happens in sports, it happens in everyday life, when someone is affiliated with some organization, okay, and that one or two within whatever business organization might say something that might cause the two of us go, whoa, like, what does that mean? And then what happens for some people, Reed, is people think, well, everybody who's a part of that business, that organization, that church feels that way. You're going to have outliers.
Yeah.
So within Belter, and some of what you just said, where there is some extremism in this church, and let's be honest, in a lot of different religions and divisions of religion, you can have people who say some of those whoa moments. Did he have this as a part of his life and his comments through his decades apart of religion and talking about how at 17 he felt like God came into his life and really completely changed the direction of his life at that point for the next 40-some years?
I mean, this is a guy, like, you can frame it two different ways, right? This is a guy who was on fire for the Lord and had been since age 17, or this is a guy who took his faith to such extremes that it led him on a path to do something, you know, alleged path to do something absolutely horrific. Did he have extreme views? Did his church have extreme views? Yes. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say that. Look, a church being against abortion rights, against same-sex marriage, even against, like, LGBTQ supporters, is that among more conservative churches?
Sure.
Is that out of the norm? No, I don't think
Mm-mm,
so.
No.
But his church, when we look at their sermons, when they talk about women, about wives being submissive to their husbands, when their career is the primary duty is wife and mother. Or back in November, a speaker of the church called members of the United Methodist Church apostates for changing its rules to allow gay clergy. I think that is probably a little bit more outside the norm of what we see in what I guess we call it more mainstream churches, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Now, let me go back to what you said, and this is definitely something I want to ask you about. The dialogue a reporter had with Belter, okay? How often was this? At what length? Did it just involve religion? And then it reads from the story he really didn't want to go too much in depth. Thoughts about his beliefs. Was the reporter allowed to get into other questioning with Belter? Because that's always, I think that's fascinating. A lot of people wonder what sort of access a prisoner of these charges might have with the reporter, and then whether that individual is willing to talk with any sort of candor to said journalist who's reached out.
Yeah. So this was Sarah Nelson, who did several, like, online, sort of like almost like a chat room type interviews with him. She's our federal courts reporter. And our goal going into this was to focus on his faith. And, yep. and ultimately, I think the question that everyone's asking with something like this is, why did he do this? Or why did he allegedly do this? Because it's, sure. this is so obviously outside the norm. I mean, I think, as you alluded coming in, this I think is the certainly the biggest news story in Minnesota now, and I would say probably the biggest news story since George Floyd and everything that came after
his
murder.
I agree, absolutely.
And so, but we're all wondering why. And we thought, look, this is so many people around him described him as just this faith-filled person. How can that lead to this? And that's what we went into. And he is also, I should say, like one of the most media-friendly accused multiple murderers in recent memory.
Did you ever think you'd offer up those comments, Reed?
No. I would not want to be his attorney because he said a lot of different outlets. Yeah. He can be cagey about things. Like this is me making a little bit of a jump and an analysis here. So
understand.
Excuse me that.
Yeah.
But like, I get the sense that he's pretty darn media savvy. He's talking to The Blaze, a very conservative Christian outlet, about this COVID conspiracy theory. I think he gets a much more receptive audience talking about the COVID vaccine and how it's supposedly killed all these people in Minnesota than he would with Star Tribune readers. With the Star Tribune, he was cagey about some things. He wouldn't talk about motive. He wouldn't talk about like how this has affected his church. Like, the church is very much in turmoil, as you would expect.
Because of him, right? And
the poll,
right? Let me chime in on this because I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
The idea after the three of you did all this reporting, including the conversations, is there enough out there to in any way suggest that the religion was the tipping point for this? Or this is just really more of an example of how important religion was for him and how his entire life was centered on it. The names of his kids are dictated by his belief in God in this particular faith. And one of his kids is named
another
Faith.
Another one of his kids was named after a missionary who was his mentor, who was to death on a missionary trip to Africa. Like, this guy was, in a way, seems like his inspiration. Do we blame the faith? I don't know. I hate to give that answer, but I don't know. We always look to, like, point the finger when something awful happens.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he is swimming in this stew that has a lot of extreme elements, a lot of elements that seem to encourage violence. But do we say it is the fault of his religion? I think that's you can't see into someone's brain. You can't see into someone's soul. So I hate doing that. But I think what we did, and I think this is a worthy endeavor that we discussed, is it worth giving this guy this much of a platform? These were discussions that we had amongst us. And I think it's a very, you can make that argument either way. I know, I think Carol Levin made the argument the different way. They're not going to platform this guy.
Right. Yep.
We decided it's important not to say this is why he did it, but it's important to understand the world that he was operating in for, 40 odd years, and the influence that world, not Belford specifically, not these necessarily extreme views, but that world has in modern day politics. There are certainly fringe, or maybe not fringe, elements in that world that can scare people. But I think it's a worthy endeavor, and there's a lot of nuance to it, but there's a worthy endeavor to look at the world that he sort of came from.
Reed, as always, very good on air. I encourage people to read the story. Thanks again. We'll reach out down the line.
Thank you.
Reed Forgrave.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.